men that know what it takes. We are men that know what to do. We are men that have the tongue of the learned. We are men that don't give in to defeat with our words. We are men that don't give in to discouragement with our words. Oh, we give no place to the devil in our words. And indeed, we gain the victory in every area of life. Father, thank you as we look into your word today. We are better. Our lives are changed. We see ourselves clearly. We understand better our realities. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, welcome to church. Greet your neighbor. Say hello to someone you've not met today. If you've not seen the person throughout the week during our prayers and vigils, ask the person, how are you? How far now? Where you lost go? Last week preaching in church. Where have you been? Where have you been? Daniel, where have you been? You've been everywhere. It's okay. Bratulu, where have you been? You have been in Jesus. Okay, we have been in the devil, have you? Because if you were in Jesus, we would have met you there. We saw you. We were in Jesus. So if you are there, we'll see you. But we didn't see you. We are in the Holy of Holies. So Jesus have different compartments. We forgive you. Good morning, everybody. Okay, so get your Bibles. Get your books. Get your pen, a working pen and a spare, in case that one does not work well. We have some people that have biro banks. They have more than enough. So if you need a pen, just locate someone. We cannot emphasize enough the importance of writing and taking notes in church. I've met somebody after that day, that same Sunday. In fact, as we were going home, what was today's topic? And he was scratching his head. You have to write down, okay? Please, if you have your notes, you just quickly go over it and understand again what you have been taught. Glory to God. As well, these children. Okay, so today we are going to be looking at something quite vital. Praise God. The believer, I'm not very good with titles, but the believer or the minister and his relationships. So the minister and his relationship, or the minister's relationships, or the believer, anyhow you want to phrase it, but you know what I'm trying to talk about, right? Please ensure that relationships is plural. Not relationship, before you think that we want to discuss marriage today. Relationships. Thank you very much. All right, so don't be carnal, format your brains. Don't be looking for who to marry and who not to marry. Don't worry, this is still the Edifying Assembly. Okay? We are teaching the epistles. Glory to God. All right, so the reason why we are looking at this, towards the end of last year, we had the tongue interpretation service, I'm sure most of us remember, and we had prophecies towards the year, towards 2019, how to guard our steps, how to pattern our lives, what to pause on, the words that we needed for direction. I'm sure we remember that, right? And about 5 persons said almost the same thing concerning our relationships, that we have to watch our companions, we have to watch the persons that we surround ourselves with, because that will be very, very vital towards the success in ministry for the year. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Okay, so because as a church here, we take prophecies seriously, we do not joke with utterances, we know what they do for us, and we know that they give direction to our days. So because of that, it is instrumental, or it is vital or necessary that we examine today what exactly do we mean when we say the believer and his relationships. What does it entail? What does it mean? Every area, we'll just try and look at it as quickly as we can. Are we ready? Okay, so that's the topic, and that's why we are studying it, and so let's go. Okay, relationships. Associations. Maybe I should use the word associations, because I'm sure some persons, when I say relationship, their mind is just one track. They're just, it's only one thing they are just focused on when I say relationship. So associations, okay, is very vital to a man. It's a very vital part of man. You know, social studies, then they will say man is a social being, right? Man needs interactions. Man is not meant to stay on his own. So man as a person, or man as a being, is has relationships or associations as a vital part of his existence. So even spiritually, we're not called into isolations. I'm not called into isolation. Ephesians 2. Let's just read that. Ephesians 2. Remember when we read Psalm 68 some months back, talking about the fact that God takes the solitary and establishes him in families. Ephesians 2, from verse 14. For he is our peace, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, this summarizes what Jesus did for us. In Paul was describing how Jesus broke the partition that existed between Jews and Gentiles, and now everybody is now one in Christ. No more distinction. Because of what Christ did here, you see verse 19, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Praise God. So you see that even spiritually, God, in part of what he did for us in Christ, was to also give us a family, to give us associations, to put us in the midst of persons, or to put us in the company of people, so that nobody is on his own. So whether spiritually, physically, whatever the lie, man is not meant to be on his own. But with that, even at that, we must be careful, because if we don't properly learn, it is easy to just say, okay, man is a social being, because that's the drive behind all the social media platforms, making the world closer to you at your fingertips. So some of you have friends in Japan, in Afghanistan, in this one, you've never met them, even in Nigeria, yeah, you've never met them, but you have closest friends on Facebook, so that you don't run with that, I'm a social, I don't like the word animal, but that's the definition they gave us there in school. I'm a social animal, so let us make friends. We must watch it. That is why we are studying today, to curtail what it means. All right, so let's start now. One of the instructions echoed in the epistles is the believers' associations. One of the clearest instructions echoed in the epistles is the believers' associations. Those he keeps and those he should stay away from. You see, in almost every book of the epistle, the believers' association, who you should be around, who you should stay away from, was echoed throughout all the epistles, showing you how important it is. We'll start from Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Write as fast as you can. Open your Bibles as fast as you can. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 2. Are we there? Philippians 3, 2. IG, are you there? Waiting for you. Good. All right. So Philippians 3, 2. Let us read together. All right. Let's go. Yeah. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. All right. Let's read it again. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. And beware of the concision. Now, there's a strong tone here to that effect. Of course, I'm sure many of us know what Paul was talking about here. But just to be sure, the word beware there is not saying that you should run away. Or it's not saying that you should go and lock yourself up. It's rather saying that you should discern. The meaning of the word there is that you should discern, to mark, to note, to take note of something, to properly distinguish whatever grammar you want to use. But that's the word there. It's saying that you should take note, you should perceive, you should mark, you should discover. Discover, that's the word beware. Now, dogs there does not mean captain. Does not mean dog, like dog. That's why I use captain, because you know dog, right? So that does not mean dog. Rather, it's saying that it refers to impudent men. If you check the root word, you see figuratively, it's used to describe an impudent man. Is a metaphoric expression. Daddy, why are you laughing at me? I can't speak English. Metaphor is a metaphoric expression of an impure mind, an impudent man. So that was what Paul was describing there. He wasn't talking about dogs, but he said an impudent man, a man with impure mind. Note those persons. Watch out for them. Discern those persons. And for that definition there, you see it in the next word, beware of evil workers. beware of the concision. So that describes further what Paul was trying to say, beware of dogs. So he was simply saying, this is a very strong tone to this effect. Watch your association. Be careful. Note it. Examine. Don't be carried away. Your associations is something that you should note, you should perceive. And in knowing who to perceive, or one of the major persons you stay away from, that was why I referred to them as dogs, impudent persons, people of impure mind. So you are to watch them. All right, so those are the kind of persons he's describing. If you read them, the whole of the book of Philippians, you will get a clearer picture of what Paul was deciding. So when we say company, or when we say associations, what are we actually referring to in this study? What do we mean when we say company, or associations, or relationships? Look at Acts to define that. Acts chapter 21. Acts 21. We'll come back to Philippians 3 later. Acts 21, verse 6. Okay, are we there? Okay, and when we are taking our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. You see the word we. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, Muskip, and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Now, the word we are describing there is the word Paul's company. Company. What does that word mean? It's from the Greek word peri, P-E-R-I, very short. It simply means about, something that is about, or concerning, or account of, or something that is near. So it suggests familiarity, it suggests proximity, it suggests closeness. That's what that word means there. With our post company, company. So what is the believer's company? When we are saying company, we're not saying they're all associations. We're not saying everybody you just meet on the street or the persons that you just see once in a year. We're talking about those that are in close proximity to you. There has to be a certain level of closeness, someone that is near, someone that has enough proximity or influence to change your mindset or to influence you generally. Do you understand? So that's what we're looking at today when we see the believers associations, the believers company. Okay, one way to understand or maximize relationships or your associations you keep is to understand from the very beginning your goal in entering into that relationship or in having that association around you. If you do not understand the reason or the purpose or what you stand to benefit from such associations, you would abuse the purpose. Or you would just enter blindly, and at the end of the day, it will not have any positive effect on you. So before you call someone my clique, my goon, or my main man, or my G, or my, you know the words you use, before you call someone, refer to someone that is very close, we have the right to ask you. Once you say, this is my main man. Okay, what is your main man's influence? Or what is your reason for him being your main man? Or what are both of you meaning about? Do you understand? So you have to have a reason why you have such an attachment to that person. If you cannot define the purpose for that relationship, you have subjected that relationship to abuse already from the beginning. Because of that, it is imperative and important that as believers, we sit down and analyze before entering or choosing associations. What am I looking for? What will this do for me? What impact am I hoping to get from here? What will this benefit me? What will our relationship be about? What will this association be about? Not just that we are just rolling. We're just rolling. We're just having a good time. If you do that, you have already subjected that association to abuse. So you must know what to expect in order to benefit fully. With that in mind, we'll briefly examine some types of relationships or associations that the scriptures recognizes. Some certain types of relationship that the Bible recommends or recognizes so that we can fully understand when we say, okay, this person is this, we know what the association is about and we know what the impact it will have on you. Do you understand? Okay, so let's do the first one. The believer and his pastor or his teacher. The believer and his pastor or his teacher. Pastor slash teacher slash mentor. Well, you can just pick one. Pastor is fine. Pastor is fine. Okay. Now, this is a supernatural relationship that must be carefully selected. It has to be carefully selected. It's not a random act. It's not based on, I like the way this man talks. I like the way he dresses. Oh, when you see him, you just see the glory radiating all over you. By the time you see his shoe, he's always put together. He dresses well. And why? Because of that, I'm just drawn to him. I don't know why. You know, we used to have that, I don't know about you, but I used to be guilty of that years ago. You just say, I just like that. We just click. Why? No reason. No, we just connect. We just, please, oh, you don't just connect. Okay? As a man who understands spiritual priorities, please don't just be connecting. Okay? You don't choose this kind of relationship based on physical appearances, but it must be carefully selected. Why? Because the purpose of this relationship is to birth Christ in you and equip you for ministry. You know, we are talking about different kind of relationships. What will it do for you? What will you get from it? So you know how to manage your expectations. Now, the believer and his pastor relationship, the singular purpose is to birth Christ in you and to equip you for ministry. Nothing else. It is not to meet your physical needs. It is not to provide money for you. It is not to meet your emotional needs. So I'm just lonely. I just need someone that I can discuss my problems with. I just need somebody that when I call any time of the day, can answer. You know, people have that. They feel that's what the pastor should be about. That the pastor should be very caring. You should not be like me, that I will not ask, even if you come and your face is looking blue, I'm not going to ask. Okay, no, I think I do. The other pastors, I'm very caring in that regard. But other pastors, not here, you just say, okay, even if you are coming like this, tired, and you say you're not feeling fine, they will still be saying, pray some more. That those persons are not, they're not caring. No. You're supposed to ask me how my day was. You're supposed to ask me how, if I had enough money. You're supposed to ask me whether I've eaten today, you know, whether I slept well, you know, such questions. Before you now start asking me to pray, you should meet all those things. That is the person that does not understand what the role of a pastor or mentor is to him. The purpose is to birth Christ in you and to equip you for ministry. All right, we'll look at the case study. We'll look at Paul and Timothy. Paul, Timothy. You just get ready to open your Bibles as quickly as possible. A lot of scriptures we'll examine quickly. All right, Acts 16. We'll start from when they met. Acts 16. Paul, Timothy. That's an example of a pastor, mentee, or how do you call it? A believer and a pastor's relationship given to us in the scriptures. First Timothy, Acts 16. Are we there? Okay, from verse 1 to 3. This is talking about Paul and Silas now. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now, this is where Paul met Timothy. Paul went to a town to preach. Paul had never met the guy from Adam, or in quotes, I will say it. Paul did not have prior knowledge of him. But he went to a town to preach, and he saw a young man. I don't know how young Timothy would be here for, because even while he was pastoring, he was still young, right? Though church history tell us that he was very young. I don't know about his age, but he was quite young. So Paul took a young man from the comfort of his home, from his father, and from his mother, circumcised him, and say him would Paul have to go with him. So that was the birth of that relationship. That was how they met. When we saw him, there was no mention of the fact that Timothy was a man full of the world, full of the Holy Ghost, right? He was just a believer that Paul met and took him with him. Now we see further evidence that they traveled together. Acts 17. So Paul took Timothy to join him in his trips, and they went together. Acts 17, verse 14. Okay, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus are both there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, I don't have so much time to trace it around the book of Acts, but you see there that Timothy was always with Paul. Timothy was with Paul everywhere. He went to almost all his trips with him, except Paul tells him, stay here or come and meet me. So that was the kind of proximity that was existing in their relationship. If so much so that Paul had this to say concerning him in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now this is Paul giving credence to the fact that Timothy was with him. Through these events he called, through persecutions, through afflictions in different places, that Timothy fully knows his way of life, his manner, his doctrine, what he teaches, in spite of all these things. And see Paul's final testimony, the final one we're going to look at concerning Timothy, Philippians 2. Verse 19. Are we there? Paul's testimony concerning Timothy. Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. In therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also shall come shortly. Now see Paul's testimony concerning Timothy. And not just him. He said, you also know the proof of him, that this is his own state. Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your affairs. And the affairs he was talking about, if you read the beginning of the chapter, was spiritual affairs, not whether they had money or not. But he was talking about their state in the spirituals. And he said, Timothy will care for it. He is like-minded. We have the same mind. We have the same thinking. And you know too. Now we see how Timothy progressed from Acts 16 down to this point. In the point where he was able to handle a whole church. And Paul was writing letters to him. He says, I appoint bishop, appoint deacons, appoint this. Paul made him an overseer over a congregation. This is the product of what this kind of relationship should be for you. So when you see the relationship or the mentoring relationship between a pastor and you, as a believer and the pastor, your end result should be this. That you will be able to have the same testimony concerning yourself. That you can take up ministry, you will be strong, you will be able to do everything even as the pastor does and better. Do you understand? That is the purpose of this relationship. Nothing else. Nothing else. So, from this example, we can clearly see the successful progression of what pastoring should achieve in you. This is what pastoring should achieve in you. So, in your relationship with your pastor, this must be your primary focus. How to be better in the spirituals. It must be your primary focus. Primary, what you keep in your mind at all times. Not how to get a job. Not that when you come there, that pastor is known to have connections. By the time you attend service 5 times and you have shown yourself as a good usher, you're always smiling, a job is sure for you. If that is your reason for selecting the pastor, yeah. Okay. All right. So your focus for pastoring relationship should not be to get a job. It should not be money. It should not be financial assistance. It should not be even to have relationship. Of course, with time, we see that this closeness and by being close to your pastor, some physical, how do you call it, some physical, which word can you, benefits. If you put that word benefit, I don't hope nobody's kind of here. Don't be safe. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is that, because we have to be careful. We have a privilege. That privilege is still suspicious. Physical attributes, eh? Okay. Some physical attributes would show up, or like some physical, First Timothy. Let me know. I have to be really careful to choose my words here. First Timothy 5:23. You see Paul's instruction to Timothy. A lot of people used to like the scripture there. A lot of persons use this one as their anchor scripture for some desires that they have. Not you, of course. I'm persuaded of better things concerning you. So 1 Timothy 5:23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. So you see Paul's instruction here concerning, was this one spiritual? Was this instruction spiritual? Okay, of course. We see that with time, there was proximity, and Paul was able to, Paul knows his physical state and what is beneficial to him, and then can speak into those areas. Do you understand? That's what I'm trying to say. Not just that benefit, physical benefit or physical thing. This is what I mean. I mean that there will be proximity, that your, even your physical needs can be addressed. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Your physical needs can be talked about. And of course, we see this is one verse, right? Out of how many chapters? How many chapters is there? 1 Timothy, 6 chapters. So we see just one verse that is addressing this. So see the premium or the role that it takes in pastoral relationship. Sure, that's what I'm trying to say. So we see plenty of instructions, spiritual instructions concerning this, how to do, what to do in church, what to do here, what to do here. Then we see just one verse talking about, okay, so that because you're, I don't know what often infirmity is, whether it doesn't have frequent digestion, or I don't know, just take a little wine. So with time, with closeness and proximity, some physical issues will be addressed, but that must not be your motivating factor in choosing a mentor or a pastor. And that should not be what you're aspiring to get. Okay? Okay, so know what to expect. Don't be caught in the quicksand of expecting physical things from your teachers and using that as a yardstick to measure their care. You know, somebody was telling me about someone, what someone posted one time, and they were saying that all these people that are always writing letter or instructions to young ministers and they are not giving them money. I was shocked. I was like, has it come to that? So what to judge the importance or a person's role? If a person says I care for young ministers, so how we judge that care, or how we judge how that person is the person's impact, is if he gives you money for ministry. We have not so learned Christ, though. It's not here. We can't find it anywhere. We see Paul saying Timothy stay here, Timothy come there. We don't see him saying, you know, funny enough, I just wish, or sometimes I think, if we have pastoral letters today, it will be very interesting. Like, if we have letters from pastors today to their proteges or something, it will be very interesting. We'll see a lot of things. We'll see money sharing formulas. How did the offering go? Oh, thou, Kelvin, the money that thou taketh for the first month of the year, endeavor to apportion a large percentage, for you know that to value spiritual relationship, there is authority here. So you should ensure that the bulk of it goes to the people that are watching over you. And ensure also that you tell Toluwani that he's not paying his tithe. That the money, we know that salaries have been paid, but the tithe has not improved. Yeah, we are supposed to take a tithe. Also, Kelvin, watch that, therefore, unto their member state. Ensure that you know how much they earn, for some can deceive you. You know, that can happen. That would be the kind of. this is my side ministry. Don't let pastor hear. You know, that's the kind of things you might see. Because that's what we are judging what mentoring should be now. How did the message go last week? Where your member sleeping, that means you taught too long. You should not teach up to 20 minutes is enough. So when that Mr. Thou may know how thou oughtest to teach in church. For the people are busy and that they have a lot of time, they don't have a lot of time to spend in church. So just teach 20 minutes and then let them sing and dance. And of course introduce drama and give them such things as their heart desires. For in so doing, that shall help them and make them committed. Glory to God. That is what we want. How can you say a person is telling you instructions, giving you words, giving you scriptures on how to do ministry is not doing enough, or is not doing what he should do? You are waiting for when he will say, okay, come and take money. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We must be focused. You know, when it sounds like it makes sense, right? You should at least care. Don't you care whether for example, you have a senior pastor that has money, and then the pastor sends you to go and open a church somewhere, or you even go and you are associated with him, he's not directly under your ministry, and you don't have sound. You don't have sound equipment, you don't have one microphone, and the pastor he's riding a big Jeep, and he's riding, or his own church is filled with studio equipment kind of sound. And then you're expecting that, if this man truly loves me, he should have given me one microphone. You know, it sounds normal. It sounds like, yes, he should do that. But we must be careful. We have no such instructions. Even when you see Paul referring to concerning Timothy's physical welfare, the instructions were usually to the church. See that thou bring him carefully, or see that thou bring him well. Do you understand? As in, meet his needs. Not that Paul is not saying, Timothy, as you are going, come, take 50,000 naira. I know your journey is far. Come, take it. Use it to buy chewing gum on the road. Brethren, let us know what spiritual relationships are, know the role of your pastor, and know what is the end result you should get from that relationship so as not to abuse it. All right? Praise God. Are we on the same page? Or you don't like it? You don't like what I just said? Oh, you are planning to come and meet me for money after service? The Lord has caught you. Praise the Lord. I only have the word to give thee. That is my portfolio, as we have been taught. It didn't enter the microphone. Nobody heard that. All right, so let's look at another kind of relationship or association that was spoken about in scriptures. The minister's companions. The minister's companions. You know, we've defined what company is, right? So the people that are around you, the people that have close proximity to you, the persons around you, the persons that are near you, that kind of relationship, let's examine it quickly from scriptures. Now, please write this down very carefully. Having persons who are like-minded with respect to ministry is an essential requirement to keep the minister sane. Having persons who are like-minded with respect to ministry is an essential requirement to keep the minister sane. As in sane, not saved though. Sane. To keep your sanity. To keep you thinking right. So that you don't derail in your, some people start reasoning like fools. So to keep your sanity and ensure that you are always thinking right. Having those persons that are like-minded. See what I said? Like-minded with respect to ministry. Not just like-minded in anything, with respect to ministry is an essential requirement to keep you sane. And it helps to maintain your priority. I don't know why I used Dario's name, but his name is here for my example. And I said, for example, Brad Dario. Praise God. If where Brad Dario is at work, he has like two persons with him as he's going through his training there that are also maybe... For example, he has two persons with him. Like one is Buki, and one is who are also in church here, and who are also trying to pursue a career in God, or maybe not in church, but persons in their respective places that are fully focused on ensuring that okay, even with our job, we do things spiritually as we should and meet up targets. Do you think it would be better? So, but okay, let's do the flip side. If on the reverse situation, because why will it be easier for him, or why will it be better? Because you know, right now, Dio thinks we don't sympathize with his infirmity, right? So when we are not taught and we don't understand fully what is going through, they don't know that my work is like this. So because we are not there, right, it feels we don't understand. But if he has someone that is there in the same shoes with him and understands the targets and whatever the expectations for him at work, and is also trying to ensure that he also meets the target spiritually or pursues a full career in God, that way he does not have an excuse. That way he can say, okay, all right, if he wants to start complaining, this one, the person just says, ah, guy, we have to do this thing. We just have to ensure that our spiritual work does not suffer for this one. And somehow he reboots his sanity. So having somebody around you that is that like-minded in any area, it is essential. That is why you must search for it. You must not say, this is where I found myself. There's nobody around that has this kind of pursuit. No, searching for the right company is your responsibility. It doesn't fall down from heaven. You have a responsibility to ensure that you search for and surround yourself with the right company in order to keep yourself sane. Let us examine Paul again. In Paul's ministry, we see this play out. Let's see. Acts 18. Let's start from that. Acts chapter 18. Acts 18. Wait for you. Acts 18. We see that Paul always was with the right people. He referred to them in different places as helpers of ministry, fellow laborers, co-laborers. But the background is that he always had people with him that were also like-minded with respect to ministry. So we see Acts 18. Let's read 18. Acts 18, 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now, you know that, okay, let's read verse 1. Let's read verse 1 of that Acts 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Portius, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto him. Now, okay, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupations they were tent makers. So who found Priscilla and Aquila? Who found them? Did they just sit down in one place and Priscilla and Aquila fell into his lap? So by finding, he went to a new town, and one of the essential things he did was to find men. Do you understand? And these men became fellow laborers with him. As you see that verse 18, they went together to do ministry. Let's see Acts 20. Acts 20. Verse 1 to 6. And after the opera was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given much exhortations, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews had laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus and Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now you see throughout the book of Acts, Paul was always having companions with him. Always. Always. It's as if every city he goes, 2 persons join, 3 persons join, 1 person joins, like that. Men that have the focus of ministry. Always, always with him. Acts 21. I think we read that before. We'll just read it again. Acts 21. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed unto Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was still unladen our burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we went to that same thing and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Syria, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. Now you will see, you just keep seeing it all over. We. Paul ensured, because that was a man who recognized the importance of the right persons around you in order to fulfill ministry. And he ensured he was always with such persons. You see, even in his epistles, almost every epistle, Paul kept referring to those people that were with him as fellow laborers, fellow co-laborers, co-workers, fellow servants, every word he used of persons that were always with him in ministry. We see Ephesians 6, just see two examples, and so many scriptures to read. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and fellow minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. You see Philemon 23 and 24. Philemon, you know it only has one chapter. 23 and 24. Are we there? Please just open as quickly as possible. And have you opened Philemon, verse 23 and 24? Okay. Dear, salute thee, as in people that are greeting you, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, and Demas. See, Demas was still in ministry here. Lucas, my fellow laborers. In almost every epistle, you see Paul making mention of these ones. This one is with me. This person has gone here. I have left this person here. This person is going to come to me shortly. Showing that he was always with ministers. So that is an essential requirement for a believer that is focused on ministry. You must always have the company around you must be persons that have the same mind, same passion, same zeal, same drive for ministry. If you are the only one and every other person around you does not have the same, does not understand what it takes to, you know, I don't know how it will look like. You are all your friends, everybody around, they don't understand what vigil is. So when you say you're coming for vigil, they're like, ah, again. What did it happen? You know, Moses, am I lying? Have you not heard people? Do you have friends? What do they go pray for? Now imagine if you don't have one person around you that can say, ah, vigil is true, let's go. How do you think your life will be in 6 months? Do you think you'll be strong enough to still be vigil? You know how vigil tires you, right? The next day, how you just feel like, and then the person like, you say, you send you a message. Maybe you go to work and then you're sleeping and then the person's mocking you. Why you go to go vigil for the anyway, praise God. So to ensure that you do ministry, if you want to do ministry, ensure that you have persons around you that have this purpose. Why? Because, please write this down, the minister will not always be strong. He will not always be strong. He will not always have the drive. He is a man. That is, you are a man. Okay, let me put you as a man. You as a minister, you will not always have the drive. You will not always want to. There are times you just sit down and the alarm clock rings and you know you are supposed to go and you're just like, today again. And then you calculate. Is there nothing that can keep me from vigil? Which excuse can pastor understand? Oh, you know, if I'm not here. You know, when you sit down and you're just analyzing all the reasons why you can, if I say this one, they might not agree. Okay, if I use this one. Okay, let me use this one. I'll use this one next week. You know, when you're just, because you're a man. You are subject to be tired. You will not always have that sometimes, even if it's just a day in 5 months, you can show that kind of despair. Like, see, Bookie yesterday that wanted to faint. For 1 hour, she was disorganized just because she heard of an exam that's going to come up next month. And she became, just take me, Lord. I don't want to do it again. If Bookie can do that, how much more hereditary? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you see why the minister will not always be strong. I know that he's a man of God. I'm aware of that. Of course. Bookie also has the book. I mean, you're a man of God. Because if she has gone through, I use that because she has gone through membership training. You know what the process is. You have finished workers in training. You know what that process is. And if you are not still afraid of one more exam after that, it means that, so when I told her, I said, okay, what do you now want somebody like Divine to say? Divine is at the starting line. He's on your marks, let's go. So if you see people ahead already discouraged, like, what do you want him to do? So the believer will not always be, I'm sure in some people's mind, people like, Buki is a man of God. Buki, this kind of thing does not, once you hear exam, that kind of thing should not face Buki, right, Abby? I'm sure even if Okpe was surprised at Buki's reaction yesterday. So to show you that the minister will not always be strong. But you can't hold it against her, right? Because she's a man. She's permitted to do that. But what will happen? She has people like us around her, right? That will come and knock her head. Like, what is the matter with you? It's not just one exam. Can't you? As if you talk too much, we'll slap you there. You need such. If the people around her were people like, okay, there's nobody here I can use for an example. People are all believers, that's true. But if somebody that, if she complained there now, maybe in her neighbor's house, and they're like, don't be examining right that day when you listen to 17 message. Don't be down the way right when you listen to 20 message. What about the other way you listen to 18 message? The message only finished for the website. Wait till they do. Wait till they listen to it again. You never listen to everything. You understand? I beg you, don't need that. Shake it, don't pass. I beg you, forget that thing. To show you the importance of Kevin, you're laughing because you know that's the kind of advice you can give. Okay, Acts 14. We know we are talking about the believer and his relationships, the associations around you. You will not always be strong, so you need these people. Acts 14. Now, this was Paul. He had ministered at Antioch, and then they wanted to kill him. Okay, so he came to Lystra. Then the Jews from Antioch, okay, let's just read Acts 14:19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, do you believe that it's possible that Paul would have died there if he did not have people around him? He would have literally died. That's why Pastor said in one message that the believer around you, the believer next to you, is your greatest insurance. So if Paul, in this state of weakness that he was, if he did not have people with him, he would have died. So the believer will not, the minister will not always be strong. That is why you need such persons. Acts 4, you need persons that when the heat becomes too much, that you can go to, and rather than sitting down and complaining with you and say, we know it's not easy. It's not an easy road. This road we have called to travel. Oh, rather than mourning with you, would be able to spur you up and say, we can do this. And remind you again of the grace. All right, Acts 4:22-23. This was after Peter and John had been beaten and flogged and warned not to preach again. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, But of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may preach thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So you see how believers, the right people around them, gave them strength. was not to do panic mode. Hey, they've come again. The way they killed Jesus, they want to kill us. Ah, brethren, are you sure we should not think? We should be wise. Let us ensure that, okay, see, we can leave Jerusalem. Let us go to one corner, Bethlehem. They won't find us there. Let us just go and hide. And after 2 years, when their temper have cooled down, we'll come back. It sounds wise, but let us be careful to ensure that the people around us are the ones that they are more crazy about ministry self than you. And when things want to come up to reduce your pace, they are saying, no, we will not let you go. In fact, you are not doing enough. You know, some persons, you are the local champion where you are, right? You are the apostle. You are the apostolate. All your friends are still just maybe regular church members. So where they are, you are the, how's it called? You are the bishop there. And the bishop of their souls. So when those ones don't even pray to pray 30 minutes, in fact, they worship you. When you pray 30 minutes, you have prayed 30 minutes, glory. So when you come and you're like, we did 4 hours prayer in church today. You pray 4 hours. Guy, like you, after you, that you too much. Bros, you are on fire, you are hot. You know, you have that kind of, you are feeling like, yes. This ministry is prospering in our hands. We are doing well. We are doing a good work. That's the fastest way to kill yourself. Ensure the people around you are even more passionate. And the ones that you say, 12 hours, we finished 12 hours. Oh, glory. When are we doing 14? Do you understand? Where are they? You have that? Okay, we'll get them. We'll get them. Since in your search, you can't find, you will get them. We'll get them. But ensure that the people around you are the ones that... did you just say, where are they? What about the people here? You'll find it. Okay, we'll get there, don't worry. Praise God. Let me follow my notes. Hallelujah. All right, so the minister, we've said that the minister will not always be strong at all times. This is why he needs such persons around. Men like Barnabas, who will take you and involve you in ministry. Do you understand? Let's look at what Barnabas did to Paul. Acts 11. You know, Paul got saved in Acts 9, and then he wanted to go and start preaching, and they wanted to kill him. So they hid him inside a basket and dropped him out of the city, and then he went somewhere. But in Acts 11, we'll see what happened between Barnabas and Paul. For verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them, which were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exalted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Paul, to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So you see the role that Barnabas played in Paul's life. Somebody that would take you and say, okay, let us go and do this in ministry. Somebody that was, okay, how do we reach out to persons? This weekend, what are you doing? Okay, we only have 2 hours free this weekend. Let us go to that school. Do you understand? Because it is not a function of, that's to answer one of your questions, it's not a function of whether the person is very strong or a serious emoji or that fire is on his head. It's simply a person that has the same mind towards you in ministry. Do you understand? Someone that has the same passion. And passion can, okay, I don't just skip ahead of, passion can be better than people. What happens? Through much teaching. You can teach somebody to the point that even if the person cannot do, he wants to do. In the activities of Paul and Barnabas here, if you see it in the whole of Acts, we see more of Paul doing more than Barnabas, right? We see more of Paul doing more things than Barnabas. But who was recorded here launched it. So let's just have people around you that at least their focus is, let's do ministry, no matter anyhow, let us still do it. No matter how our schedule, no matter our time, no matter how tired we are. If you have such persons with that consciousness, then things will be easy. So you have to have men who will help you seek for the avenues to practice your faith. Someone that can plan outreaches with you. And say, okay, we're given an assignment on healing. How, let's just go and let's see how we can go to this place and just minister there. Even though the person might not be fully confident, but at least let us say two persons, sometimes when you're alone to do it, there's no boldness. But you can have somebody else with you. Let's just go. Even if they want to shout at us, you have a support system. That's what a sane minister needs to have around it. So we cannot afford to miss this. Choosing companions is not based on sentiment. You don't choose your close companions based on sentiments, based on the fact, that's what we were saying earlier, based on the fact that we clicked. See an example of a man, Silas, Acts 15. Now, this was when Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to settle the dispute of whether Gentiles should be circumcised or not. And when they went to Jerusalem, the issue was settled, and then this was the result. So Acts 15:22, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Do you understand? So the apostles finished settling the matter. They wrote letters, and they were going to give it back to Paul and Barnabas to take it back to the Gentiles. But they sent people from Jerusalem themselves, their own apostles, Barsabbas and Silas, to accompany Paul. Now see what happened when they accompanied them, the verse 32, the same chapter. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren back unto the apostles to return back to Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Do you understand? So Silas came to a place, saw ministry being done, saw people doing things, and decided to stay here. So it's not a function of, hey, this, I like Barnabas, all this thing. He said the work there was enough attraction to keep the man. And we see the impact he had in Paul's ministry from verse chapter 16 down. So when you choose companions, it's not based on sentiment. It is based on the work on ground. Based on the work on ground. We choose companions based on people that are instrumental to the work. People that can help you with the work. People that can help the work go forward as a minister. That, because we know when I'm talking about minister, I'm not saying pastors or believers, you are a minister, so I'm addressing all of you as ministers. So as persons with ministry consciousness, you choose your companions based on the work. Now, the recorded disagreement we see concerning Paul and Barnabas was based on the same fact. Acts 16. We saw a sharp disagreement, right, between Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were the ones together from Acts 11. But in chapter 16, they had a very serious argument and parted ways because of companionship. Okay, to get the full story, go back to Acts 12. Just go to Acts 12 and see where it started from. Acts 12:25. And Barnabas and Saul, this was the first time when they took relief, whatever items to the apostles in Jerusalem. So when they were coming back, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now this was where it was recorded that John Mark joined them. Right? Alright, see chapter 13, verse 13. So John Mark was with them and he followed them through in some parts of the ministry. Then verse 13, chapter 13, 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, no reason was given why. It might have been a legitimate reason. In fact, it might have been that when he started with them, he wanted to only stay a few months. It might not even be a bad reason, but the Bible just recorded that Barnabas left and went back to Jerusalem where he was coming from. Then this was now Paul's response to that Barnabas leaving. Acts 16. This was what caused their disagreement. Acts 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So the simple reason for their disagreement, very Bible says it was a very sharp contention. It was simply who should accompany us. So it's not a function of sentiment. It's not a function of whether do I like you. Are you profitable for the work? Imagine if IJ and the Eritito are missionaries and they went to one remote village to preach and they're supposed to be there for 3 weeks. Then all of a sudden, after 1 week, Eritito said, okay, after 1 week, Ijoma said, there's somebody just called me now for massage. I need to do that massage. I wanted to use IJ to say tailor now that he has cloth to deliver. No problem, use IJ. And that is it a legitimate reason? Somebody called him for massage. The person is a home service. This person will pay 50,000. I'm coming. Let me just quickly go and do massage. And then he goes. She will go sharp sharp. See what she said? Oh, Jesus. I removed that part from my sermon. So IJ leaves Eritito alone in the village. If after Eritito finished leaving and going, and then in the 4 months later, he wanted to go back to another village, and IJ say, let us go. Eritito say, you that left me for massage, what is the guarantee that you will not leave me again? I beg, I don't want. Or as Joshua and Sheun are there now, Joshua suddenly said, I'm missing my bed too much. I've not seen that for 1 month. What is this? This ministry service, okay, I'm coming. I'm coming. And he comes to visit Bay. And from visiting of Bay, Bay said, we have to do introduction. And for introduction, they went to do tradition. And from tradition, they went to do wedding. And Sheu alone for 1 year. So even though Sheu likes Joshua a lot, if Joshua now comes back, in fact, Pastor will never send Joshua back. Say, you want to do it? Don't worry, don't go again. So it is not a function of sentiment. Do we like Joshua? I love him a lot. But when he has proved that he's not profitable, you don't use such persons. So choosing your companion, it is very important. If Paul was not strong-minded or he did not have other companions with him, he might have been discouraged if John Mark was his only option. So we don't choose companions based on sentiments, but rather their profit to the work. Now see something very interesting. See 2 Timothy. To show that it's not a function of personalities, but your value to the work. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he's what? You're not there yet. Okay, read 2 Timothy 4, 11. Are we there? All right, let's read together. Only Luke is with me. Mm-hmm. Are you not there yet? 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. So you have not been opening your Bibles. I have caught you. 2 Timothy 4, 11. Are you there now? All right, read it. Let's go. Mm-hmm. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. So this was years later. This was towards the end of Paul's life. Paul said, okay, bring John Mark. Now, maybe John Mark has proved himself. Probably when he followed Barnabas, he stayed faithful and walked, and they met again and realized, okay, it is me, let us go on. So after years later, bring him. So it's not a function of, I like you, I don't like you. There are some persons that probably in church, because their pastors are not giving them some certain roles or duties, they might say, pastor does not like, or pastor does not. It's not a function of your like, or it's a function of, are you profitable? Are you, if you give somebody something to do today, the person gives excuse, next week excuse, third week excuse. Of course, you will not blame the pastor for picking someone else. Do you understand? So it's not a function of, they should use me, or they should, no. It's a function of, are you profitable? So if persons are not seeking your company, you should ask yourself, am I adding value to this relationship? Do you understand? So this is for both yourself and for the person that is going to choose, both for yourself. Ensure you are a profitable person to help others in ministry and that you choose like-minded people. So companions in ministry are chosen based on their value for the work, not personalities. Companions in ministry are chosen based on their value to the work, their passion for the work, or the value that they bring to the work, not personalities. Now we are going to look at just digress a little. Even in marital relationships, it is not okay. For example, you know the Bible says the only instruction concerning who we should marry. Let's see it, 1 Corinthians 7. When Paul was given an instruction saying somebody should marry certain kind of persons, he made a very profound observation or instruction. 1 Corinthians 7:39. We all have to see this. 1 Corinthians 7:39. Are we there? Okay. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to who? To who? Whom she will, only in the Lord. So your marriage, who you choose to marry is your choice. See, very beautiful instruction. Paul said, whom she wills. So nobody has the right to bamboozle you with, we have to marry. The Lord is saying it, it is your choice. You are permitted to marry anyone that you desire. The only caveat is that the person must be in the Lord. He must be a believer. So, who to marry? Your choice, your realm. That's why you see many ladies and they are very funny requirements. Yeah, this is a very funny thing like I've been saying to you, some persons. I ask them, okay, the kind of person you want to marry, who is the kind of brother you would like to marry? Ah, it must be someone that is passionate about the work. It must be given to ministry. It must know the word. It must be firebrand. It must be able to teach me. It must be passionate about ministry. Okay, awesome requirement. Okay, can you marry a Jude? Ah. I know nobody was going to react to that. After all, this is a brother that is passionate, right? He's zealous. He will tell you to pray some more. He will be full of the word, full of the Holy Ghost. He will establish you in the word of righteousness. He will ensure that your feet are steady in the path. He will ensure you do ministry together. This is a brother that is firm. Ah, bless you, brother. He's a man approved for ministry. And right now he's preaching at Gwagwalada. Glory to the Lord. So you give them that option. And then you hear, you know, God knows what I want, sir. I want somebody that is, I think that the person be, you know, they cannot say again. So what is exactly, what is your requirement? Now you know you are not sincere. Do you understand? Because initially you are for me, the Lord, the word no more. It must be full of the word, the passion, this one. Okay, we give you a brother that is that. And then you're like, it's not romantic. It's not, okay, the implicit one in your mind, we don't know it. But it's not there. So you must be intrusive. That is why I can't blame them. When people tell me those, I can't say anything. Why? Because the Bible says she can marry whosoever she wills. It's their choice. If you want the person to be tall, dark, and handsome, if you want the person to be fat, short, fair, if you want him to, it must be any six figures. Okay, people don't even like six figures again because six figures can be 100,000. Okay, it must be in the upper quadrant of six figures. And it should be able to take care of me and my family. Who has been taking care of you before? It should be able to take care of me. At least it should have a car. I've suffered enough in life. One car is not bad. Even if it's a Golf. At least let me have a car. So that we cannot be taking a bike. I saw Juta die on a bike coming to church. And emojis. The Lord is trying to get your captivity. He's removing this much from you. Anyway, so sisters, what? It's not bad, is it bad? Everyone was not like good things. You should this one, you should that one. You should be able to smile. You should be able to take me out. You should And now as a person, as a brother, like Ojut, that is very passionate about ministry, he can't choose all sisters. Do you understand? Even though you are supposed to marry, as long as the person is a believer, but you cannot fall into that trap. The fact that you can marry every believer does not mean you can marry a believer. Every believer. Exactly. Now, there was something very instrumental happened some months back. I was in my house. I had a friend's twin came around. And she was telling me about someone that had finally proposed. She had finally agreed to marry. The person had been proposing for years. And she didn't want, because the guy is a firebrand brother. You know, serious brother. He's all about serving in redeem. And I, okay, so that's why she has refused to agree for him since. That this one is so, everything church. Say, okay, oh. Why did I agree now? Say, okay, he has been persistent. And we've seen that we can work. Maybe the feelings have developed over time. Very good. And I said, okay, oh. It's very good, though. But I'm begging you, he's a minister. If you know you cannot cope with coming second, Ejo, leave the brother alone. You know what it means? Because the funny thing about sisters, or some sisters, will be that I want a brother that is fully given to ministry. Let him love the Lord more than everybody, including me. He should just love the Lord. The Lord should be number one. Then, but yet, you expect the brother to also be taking you to cinema every weekend. He should buy you flowers. He should be calling you 1 hour a day. He buy you, of course, 25,000 naira hair from C hair. You should be able to buy that. There's even 100,000 naira hair from C. You should be able to buy you that. The brother should, if he's not around, if he goes to minister somewhere, he should at least call me for at least an hour every day when he's not around. He should just be, you know, before I sleep, I should, let me hear his voice before I sleep. So let me see. But that is an unrealistic expectation for someone that you say you want him to be passionate about ministry and you want him to still have time for all those. Choose now. If you really want to be passionate about you, so that you don't get to meet and frustrate yourself and the man of God. And at the end of the day, you are like, is he only fasting? You are doing fasting. Only church every day, church. We'll go to church today, can't we just relax and chill at home? Can't we just take a holiday? Can't we just go to Budukato Ranch for a weekend getaway? After all, don't you love me? You see, that's it now. I don't know how I'm emphasizing this one, no, but boy, you must be realistic in your expectation. Please. If the person says, if you are saying, it's not bad. That's why I say, who you will. Like Buki yesterday, I told him I would call their names. Now, then they heard that there's ministers training and the exam that is going to come and the questions for normally you are doing membership training now and we are giving you, listen to 7 messages, listen to 9. You go home to workers in training, you say, okay, listen to 20, listen to 17. You come for ministers training and you say, go and listen to www.edifyingassembly.org. Listen to all the messages there. No AOC. And you're like, I hear you. My life has ended. Let me go and marry. That was what somebody said yesterday. She said she will just go and marry. That before she gets to that level, she will marry. So you have seen marriage as the word escape route from ministry. After all, Paul said that a single woman should be busy serving the Lord. The unmarried woman cares for the affairs of this world, as she may please her husband. So I have a lawful distraction. Paul called it lawful distraction. So I when I'm married, at least they will understand if I cannot be coming for prayer. They will understand after all. They know. Have you? So, Okpeda wants to choose marriage as an escape route so that she doesn't end up in minister's training. Your choice. She has found him already. She has found him. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Brethren, be spiritual. We are teaching on the believer and his relationships. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She's not ashamed of that. It's a wonderful thing. But it's your choice, it's your realm. Do you understand? It's your wish. If you say, I want to marry a man that will love me, that will take care of me, that will, my his beginning and end will end with me. You know, I don't know how many of you should read all these novels that they just paint the hero or the person as all his life revolves around. You are my world. You are the star. You are where it starts and where it ends. I can't imagine a life without you. And then all the poetry, you're just like, oh, say that again. And you're just happy. You are free to marry such. Okay? No problem about that. It's whom you will. You can say, let this person be like this. It doesn't have to be too much about ministry, but let him not hate God. He should not hate Jesus. He should just love God. After all, it's not an atheist, Abby. And we'll just love God together. It doesn't have to be coming to VJ every day is not a proof of love, your love for God. Oh, those are just the extracurricular activities. If he loves God, he comes to church, I'm fine with that. See? Nobody will hold you to ransom. But you must choose. In relationships, as a minister, if you want to be focused in ministry, ensure that the person that you are joining yourself to has the same passion, has the same focus, has the same desire for ministry, and the person has also put ministry first. Otherwise, it will not work. So, men and brethren, both ladies and brothers, probably look like I'm hacking ladies too much. No, okay, let me hack the brothers more. No, brothers don't know what they don't want to hear. But I will tell you, you are saying ministry, and then they are showing you, this sister is also serious for ministry. And I want a sister that is also put together, you know, that skin glows, that she can take, she knows how to take care of herself. Like the hair that, you know, when she dresses, there's a little that can dress, when her smile should be able to light up the world. And her carrying should be fine. You know, a sister should not be drab just because she's doing ministry. And then because of that, you now go and look for a flashy, drabby Instagram filter princess. And that is, she's a slay queen. She's slay. You say we can slay in the world, but what you're looking for is that, oh, don't worry, I will make sure the sister also learns ministry. When we marry, we will do ministry together. Even though right now she's not doing ministry. All our status, not in ministry, just current pictures, but you are saying, don't worry, you are a believer. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know that you serve all the things that are excellent. Let us marry. And you now marry. You're not telling your sister that, let us go for VG today, tomorrow, next tomorrow, brother. And she says, I'm not going. And you are saying, you are not loyal, or you are not submissive to me. The Bible says that wife be subject to your, is that what you promised her? You did not see that what she wanted before you do that. So brothers, it's not just sisters. Brothers and sisters, be careful. Manage your expectations when you come to marriage. Know what you want and stick to it. Not that you have agreed at the beginning that we'll do ministry. Then inside the marriage, you're not saying, let us slow down. That's the problem. Okay? All right, so things to prioritize in relationship, we have said that. Now, Paul spent his time instructing Timothy in his letter, or even not just Timothy, instructing people in his letters on the kind of people to avoid. We have talked about who you should be with now. Now, see how Paul talked about people to avoid in ministry. Who to avoid. Okay, before I close that, let me just say that. You know, Pastor used to say that the only kind of person you cannot marry is a person that cannot change. So the fact that somebody right now does not know the word as much as you do does not mean that the person cannot know more than you later. But if at the beginning, the person has no interest, don't expect the interest to develop. The person must have interest and passion in the world first. Do you understand? But not that he doesn't have interest, he doesn't have passion, he's just there. And then you are expecting the passion to fall on him like the Holy Ghost. Be careful. All right, so that's that. Let's move on. All right, so 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Why is it important to see these people, stay away from them, avoid them, or don't allow these persons to be in your circle of influence? Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is a Manaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, Paul said the effect of these men spreading these things is that the faith of some, they are, it's able to overthrow some people's faith. So, a person that is not, that is antagonizing your words, or that is not as running the same pace with you in ministry, or does not believe the same things, can overthrow your faith. You must not be thinking, ah, I am strong, I cannot be swayed. No. Such persons overthrew the faith of some. So that's why it is necessary to mark such persons. Romans 16. A lot of instructions for that. We'll just take a summary of it. Romans chapter 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now that mark there is the same kind of word that was used in beware of dogs, in where we started from Philippians 3. It's simply saying, note these persons, discern, just ensure you understand and can say, okay, this person is saying something contrary to what I have learned. Don't just say, we just accept it. Some people can say a lot of things couched in grace and hide one rema and put some terminology and you say it has to be correct. You have a responsibility as a believer to discern persons saying contrary things to the doctrine that you have learned and avoid them. Avoid means that do not let them be close enough to you to influence you. Of course, you cannot run away from everybody. Your people are still in the world. You still meet on Facebook. You still meet in live and say hello. But ensure they are not in that circle of influence enough to influence you. Do you understand? All right. So you see 1 Timothy 6 again. Just see two more and then we move on. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to good godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doth about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Withdraw thyself. Look at the last one, 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 14 to 15. Alexandra the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he had greatly withstood our words. Now that word there means guard yourself. Be on guard against this man. This man, be on guard. So you can warn persons and say, ah, this guy, oh, even though it looks like he's bouncing up and down and he's looking like he's the bishop of the world, be on guard against this person because of such things. Do you understand? So that's a instruction that Paul kept putting in all his letters, showing you that the responsibility of ensuring and guarding your close companion is on the believer. Don't fall into the trap of, ah, I can have friends with anybody so long as he's a believer. The yardstick, after all, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That means it's only unbelievers that will be unequally yoked. But if he's a believer, then of course we're already yoked evilly. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. That lie can cause damaging consequences. That lie of, so long as he's a believer, he can be my close friend. Ah, you have other priorities. You have priorities to watch out for. So your closest friends cannot be those who see long hours of prayers and vigils as unnecessary. And you want to learn how to be praying. Of course, right now you are just, okay, you have not yet gotten the interest. I don't know. Well, some years later in life, in ministry, some people get to the point where they are now very used to prayers and vigils and long prayers and they don't get tired. If you have reached that level, can I see your hand? Prayer is still hard work. Prayer is still labor. So you are still trying to are to build the interest or to build the strength and the zeal to stay true. And then you are with close company with somebody who is not seeing the same value in it. Not somebody that has reached Jim Jim, but somebody that still sees the value and understands the importance and say, okay, this is necessary. It's just like saying, if Dayo comes back from work now and he's tired, Dayo, I'm sorry. But because he stayed in the same house with Joshua, and because he's not going today, he's tired. And he's telling Joshua, must you go today? Can't you just relax? Eh? Let's just stay. We'll go tomorrow. That's not where the problem comes from. Okay? Eh? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Of course, Dayo cannot do that. Eh? When it gets to that, beware. No matter if the person, even if it's me, I'm telling you that this prayer is getting too long. Let's look for how to tell pastor so that the 30 hours can reduce to 12 and a half. After all, it's still a lot in the month. It's me that tells you that one. Mark me. And what? Avoid me. Okay. All right. So, because you know why? You must not take that chance. You must not assume that you are wiser than the instructions in the epistles. See 1 Corinthians 15. Close with this one. 1 Corinthians 15. Said whoever it is coming from, contrary words of that are unwholesome words, no matter the person, even if it's a man that you have seen that this man is strong, once he starts making contrary words, mark him, discern. Don't be carried away with his personality. Discern his words per time. 1 Corinthians 15. All right, so we'll see verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Now, that word deceived there means to be led astray or to be led away from a particular path. And communication there does not mean gisting or talking. Communication there is from the word homilia, and it means companionship. That's what we have been talking about since. Companionship. So, evil companionship, evil associations, evil friends. Of course, you know evil. When, to those of you that are doing exam today, God, our word, our victory. The real evil man, when you see evil, it's not necessarily somebody that is dressed in black and red, that puts a charm on the neck and then puts a chalk on the eye and is waving something. And you say, that is the evil man. Stay away from him. That doesn't necessarily mean no. The real evil man is the person that withstands your words. Remember we sang this morning, through my words, I gain the victory. Through my words, I reign in life. And then you know how important it is for you to say the right things and confess the right things and just keep your mind sane with the right things. And then as you are saying it, somebody is saying contrary every time. That person is the real evil man. So such associations will corrupt good manners. Corrupt them means to destroy, and manners there is character. So it is a certainty, it's a given. That's the instruction there. Do not be deceived. Do not think otherwise. Do not assume that you are strong. I've seen many persons make this mistake far too many times. Don't worry. I can change them or I can influence them. Do not be trapped in old relationships that are no longer profitable. You just find yourself trapped there. Years ago, people were friends and you were very close friends. Of course, at that time, all of you had the same interest. But you have learned better. And of course, you know that the first persons that should be the influence of your work are your close companions, right? So you have friends. That's where I'm about to answer those things you were saying. You have friends before that all of you, maybe people just love God and you don't hate Jesus. You're just there. And somehow you realize the importance of your salvation. You understand the place of the Holy Ghost. And then you understand ministry. The first persons, of course, you should take it back to are those persons. Remember when Pastor was saying which day that some of you have parents that don't believe what you believe. You have people around you. You don't say anything to them. You don't try to teach. You don't chip in words. You don't say anything at all. When it now comes to marriage, you're like, you don't know what. I can marry anybody. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Igbo nor Yoruba. We are all one in Christ. You didn't tell the person that one since. The first persons that should be recipient of your knowledge are your companions. So you have friends like that. All of you were okay. You were just there. And then you've learned more. You take it back to them. You spend time. You spend time teaching. You spend time trying to ensure that they understand this truth. But if they keep resisting your words, what do you do? You have to avoid. You can no longer be, we were so close before, so we have to still be this close now. That's a lie, oh. Don't say it doesn't matter. It matters. You cannot afford to have the same set of close friends that do not have the same priority with you just because people have been friends, and so you must be friends from everlasting to everlasting. Not at the expense of destroying your own character. And the Bible says it will happen. And if you keep staying in such a circle, saying that it doesn't matter, then you are deceived already. You're deceived. So ensure you're not caught, you're not trapped in old relationships and past friends that do no longer have the same priority with you. Find new ones. Find them. Thank God now for many of us that through the instruments of Facebook and the rest, we have been able to see and build some godly friends, right? We have been able to see some godly influences and some sound ministers are available. Just start first. With time, find people in your church. Find persons that have the same passion. Keep teaching. One day you will see someone that embraces the truth that you are saying and runs with the same passion that you have. Do you understand? That's how to make friends. You will keep teaching, looking. All right, so finally, in summary, you must learn to prioritize spiritual needs in relationships. Remember I said relationships, plural. We looked at the pastor, the member, the believer and his pastor. We looked at the believers and his companions. We looked at the believer and his marriage, his choice in marriage. In all, you must prioritize spiritual needs. Prioritize. You cannot afford to be indifferent in your choice of companions. You know that is another trap persons falling. They're like, my friends and I, we're just cool. They don't withstand my words. They don't mock me. They don't say I should not serve God. But they are also not saying we should serve God together. They are also not saying let's do this, let's do that. They are not spurring you on. They are not motivating you. But they are also not saying don't do. Do you understand? So some of us feel safe in such a circle. That's not true. Remember when we talk about words and how you respond to, how do you respond to unbelief or whatever comes in your mind? You respond with words. You don't form indifference. You don't say, okay, I'm not confessing the right things, but I'm also not confessing negative things. By your indifference, you're already down. So if your friends are not spurring you on to do more, it means by their own indifference or by their quietness, they are destroying you. Do you understand? So don't feel safe in such a friend, in a zone. Yeah, we are not, these ones, when we are together, we are just intellectual minds. We are just, but they are your closest friends, so your closest companions. They are not just persons you see just at work and go. They are you want to talk, you have issues, you have friends, you just want to roll, you go around and have a good time. These are the ones you call. And you are saying, we're just there, we're just social friends. That's another trap that the devil uses to ensure that we ensure things that are not spiritual. So ensure that you prioritize spiritual needs in your relationship. Don't say, see, I even wrote it here. Don't say, well, that's just the people around me. As in, these are just the people around me. I don't have friends around me that are very involved in ministry. And then you're just relaxed. Seek the right company and stay with them. Know what you want from any association. So no one has an excuse. Don't say, I don't have people around me, so you're cool. No, you must seek the right company. And when you find them, stay with them. And know what you want from every association. Know who you call your friends. People must have the same goal. People must have the same priorities. People must have the same passion, run in the same direction. Praise God. Do we understand everything that's been taught here? So this is very, very important. I don't know why the Holy Ghost felt it necessary to warn us concerning this year. It is very important. Another area I did not say too much was during one of the words that came forth was that we should be careful about persons that we receive or who have influence over us, monetary influence over us. That means persons who are the ones that meet your needs. You must be careful that because of such associations, you don't shortchange the message. You know, there are the persons that, this person you are relying on for food or for money, for school fees or for everything, and because of that, you don't want to you can't say some things, because if you say some things at home now, your next allowance will not come. Or if you post on social media, if they catch you that you wrote that, the forgiveness of sin is the believer's guarantee of eternal salvation. Ah, they will all call you. What is that nonsense you are writing there? Eh? You mean you just say, you just read that? Uncle, it's not like that. Actually, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, God loves us. That's what I was just trying to say, that God just loves us. That is it. Just love. Hey, that's not what you said it. Uncle, it's not like that. Wait, okay, I will change it. So just, but it's God. Why? Because you are knowing what you are afraid of or what you are trying to guard against is the next money that is going to come. That's one thing we were told to stay, be careful about. So, brethren, if we have received instructions to mind our associations and our company, ensure you know what to do, ensure you know what to stay away from, and what to look out for. All right, let's be on our feet. Today we're going to edify ourselves. Let's just be on our feet. We'll pray. First of all, pray for yourself in line with this. If you know you don't have friends or you don't have the right company, then you should take that up as a prayer point. It should be something that drives you also in prayer, that you locate the right persons, that you're able to meet persons that have same interest with you, or that the persons you are teaching receive your word to the point that they are established in ministry and both of you can run together. But either way, we can pray about anything. And you can pray about this even more. So let's just pray. Let's just pray that our minds are fixed on these realities, that we get the best from every association around us, whether it is in terms of our pastoral relationships or the companions that we keep in ministry, or in terms of who will marry and who will get married to. We will not miss it. In terms of our parents, we will not be blindsided by the demands of relationships at the expense of losing the things that are important to us in spiritual things. Do you understand? That's what we are praying about, that nothing will make you get carried away, that the demands that the demands of associations and friendship will not make you lose sight of the importance in spiritual things. Then when we are done, we are going to edify ourselves in this regard, because the believer is your insurance policy. The person next to you is your guarantee that you receive edification. So you maximize it. As many times as we come together, we maximize the fact that, we are here. So I will ensure I get a tongue of interpretation. I will ensure I get a word of knowledge. I will ensure I get a word of wisdom. I will ensure I receive something from you that will make me better. And I will also ensure I give something in return. So let's just pray. We are men that approve the things that are excellent. We are men that can discern properly. We are men that can discern properly. We are men that are not carried away by lofty ideas and fair speeches. No, we can discern properly. We can discern properly. We can discern when a man is missing it. We can discern when someone is saying something that is not supposed to say. And we will not stick to it just because of friendship or because of respect. No, we will rather say what we should and ensure that is corrected. And if it persists, they will know how to stay away. We have the strength to stay away. We are not bound to relationships that are detrimental to us. We are not bound to relationships and associations that are detrimental to us. In the name of Jesus. Oh, there's strength to stay away from those that we need to stay away from. We esteem the things that are excellent. We place value on things spiritual. We place value. This is our priority. This is our only focus. It is a prayer. We learn to esteem these things. We learn to esteem it. And we do not let it go because of money, because of marriage, because of acceptance. We do not let these things go. In the name of Jesus. We are are not victims of pressure in the name of Jesus. You're not a victim of pressure. You're not a victim of pressure from the wrong associations. In the name of Jesus. Oh, men will not pull you down. Rather, he will be an instrument to pull men up. In the name of Jesus. You're not the one that can be pulled down. Rather, he will pull them up. In the name of Jesus. You bring value to everyone around you. You bring value, tangible value in ministry to everyone that is around you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. You are the one that brings value in the name of Jesus. Nobody will lose his fervency because of you. Oh, you bring value in the name of Jesus. Men are better because they are in close proximity to you. It will be said concerning you that you leave men better than you met them. You leave men better. People can point to you and say, my relationship, my association with this person changed me, made me to prioritize spiritual things, made me better in the things of healing, made me better in ministering to the sick, made me better in getting men saved. That will be the testimony concerning you in the name of Jesus. Oh, we are such strong men. We are such strong men. We are such strong men and we attract such persons in the name of Jesus. The attraction for men to us will be spiritual. We attract such persons in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. We attract such persons. We freaks our life are a magnet for the right association. Oh, we are not the deceived. We are not the ones that will be led astray. Rather, we will be the ones that will pull men to this path. In the name of Jesus, we have a greater influence. We have a stronger influence. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Sati, our influence is stronger. Our influence is greater. Oh, glory to God. All right, so locate somebody. We have you can do a minimum of 3 persons today to just ensure you meet somebody. You don't have to be, of course, you're in workers in training. Not pick someone else in workers in training. Just go around. Pick someone and edify one another. Give a tongue, give an interpretation, give a word of wisdom.